Tonight, I want to give the devil his due, and I want to look at reasons to go to hell. And there are some. You know, Satan is the consummate salesman, and he has a sales pitch. You might wonder, when you just see hell described in the Scriptures, why anybody would even think about going there. And yet, many, many are planning to go there, and many are going there without knowledge. But again, I want to look at why we would want to choose this particular highway as opposed to the one we described this morning. First of all, hell is a place for the unrighteous. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, as the highway we talked about this morning was for the righteous, this highway is for the unrighteous. But anyway, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." But let's look from a standpoint of Satan's advocacy of hell. How would he go about selling hell to us if he wanted us to go to hell? Well, he does have a way of doing so. And it's found within this verse, verse 13, "Enter by the wide gate, for broad is the way and narrow that leads to destruction." But anyway, here we go. Reasons to go to hell. First of all, it is a wide gate. That's the first thing. There are no qualifications necessary. In other words, you don't have to be qualified. My son's now looking at graduating from high school, and he's beginning to consider the rest of his life, and he realizes that if he wants to get a job, he's going to have to be qualified for that job. And so he's trying to consider what he needs to qualify himself for, and that's any person in high school, especially as they approach their senior year or the graduating of their senior year, they begin to think about those things, or at least they should begin to think about those things. But again, you don't have to have any qualifications to be on this road. The road we talked about this morning, you had to be qualified to get on it. This road has no qualifications. Again, it says the wide is the gate. Revelation 20, verse 15, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Again, there are no qualifications. Anyone not found written, not qualified to get on the other road, is destined for this road. Secondly, there are no expectations. Hang on just a minute. I've skipped a few things. Look at Revelation 21, verse 8 in your Bibles. He says, there are no expectations. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So it is a broad way. You don't have to have any qualifications to get on this road. There are no expectations of you when you get on this road. In other words, there's nothing expected of you. There's no moral code that you have to follow. You can do anything you want to upon this road. If you don't like to be brave, if you don't like to be courageous, you don't have to be courageous. You don't have to believe anything. You can do pretty much anything that you want to upon this road. And again, he lists a lot of the things that you can do. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, we read in this morning's lesson, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Again, it lists a whole host of things that you can do and practice and still go to hell. You don't have to have any expectations. Third, it is a popular way. It's a very popular way. Many go in by it, we're told. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 and following, it says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world." Notice, it's the course of this world. It's the way of this world. The world does what it wants to do. It goes where it wants to go. And that's the path that they're on. Again, it's a broad way, and there are no expectations. There are no qualifications. You can do pretty much anything you want to. So many go in there because it is the popular way. He says, "And once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So again, it's a popular way. Many people are going to be on that road because, again, the expectations are low. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "So we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And when we look at the past life, when we look at the life that the world lives, we find that it's filled with the things that you find listed here. Again, the things that are important to the world. If you look at television, especially, and the movies, drinking certainly is a major part of what people expect and what people do. Revelry, that is, they drink not only for momentary pleasure, they drink to the excess until they become either so drunk they pass out or they begin to do and act foolishly. But again, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. Again, we see the world is engaged in these things in regard they think it's strange that we don't engage in these things. And so, again, it is a popular way. But what Satan won't tell you and what I'd like you to see in behind what's going on there. You see over here is the drinking parties. What they won't show you is the guy over here, or what Satan doesn't want you to see. I remember one time going to Seattle, Washington. Debbie and I flew out there to visit with some friends. And while we were there, we were downtown Seattle, and there was this group of homeless people, as they're called, politically called today. We used to call them bums when I was a kid. But anyway, but they were walking across the street, and one of these guys just fell out in the street, just passed out in the street, and two of his buddies just drug him off the street and left him laying on the sidewalk and kept going. But again, that person probably grew up watching these commercials on the left-hand side, and he thought, you know, that would be fun. But now he found himself in a position where, you know, he was in the gutter, literally. Again, that's really what you get into with Satan. And in fact, that's Satan's whole sales pitch, by the way. Satan was the inventor of the buy now, pay later plan. In other words, he wants you to enjoy your fun right now and get as much fun as you can. And then he says, well, you can always pay later. But what we don't understand is how expensive the price is going to be that we have to pay later. It's a wide gate and it's a broad road and it's the most popular way, but it leads to our demise. It leads to destruction. To go to hell. In Mark chapter 9, verses 43 and 44, Jesus had more to say on the subject of hell than any other writer in the New Testament. He said, to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where there the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The name here for hell is the word for Gehenna. And Gehenna is a valley of Hinnom, is what it literally means. During the reigns of Ahaz and Manasseh, children were sacrificed to the Canaanite god of Molech. And what I want you to see is what this God, this evil God, demanded of the people. Jeremiah 7, beginning verse 31, it says, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no longer be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. There was a bronze statue placed in this valley, and it was had outstretched arms of bronze, and they would build a fire in the base of it, and then there would be people that would stand around this bronze statue, and they would beat on drums, and they would chant, and then the worshipers would come, and they would lay their infant children in the arms of this god that was blazing hot. Of course, the baby would scream and holler because of the pain and would eventually wiggle and fall off into the fire and be consumed in the fire. But the people could not hear because of the chanting and the beating on the drums. They could not hear what was happening to their children. And that is what this gruesome God demanded in the way of worship of the Canaanites. And this is what the Israelites were participating in. Well, what you had happen, 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 10, and also verse 14, we find that Josiah began to institute reforms in order to do away with the worship of Molech and the other gods that were in the valley of Hinnom. It says, he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech. Verse 14, and he broke into pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. And so literally, the prophecy came true. It became a burial site for criminals. They would cast the bodies of criminals in there with unceremonial burial, where, again, you had constant maggots and flies, and you'd have the carcasses of animals there. You'd have fires continually burning because it was a garbage dump. And so when the Lord was searching for a word to describe the eternal abode of punishment, he thought of this valley that goes back to the worship of Molech, and he thought of this valley that became the garbage dump, the human for human refuse of men that were cast therein. And he said, this is what hell is like. And so, in Isaiah 66, verse 24, he says, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for there the worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched, and they shall be an abomination or an abhorrence to all flesh. And that brings us back to Mark 9, verse 43, to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where there the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9, verses 43 through 48 tell us that there will be those that are cast into this lake of fire, literally a garbage dump, where the wasted lives of humanity are cast. It is a place where the worm does not die. Now, whether there are literal worms there or not, it does seem to indicate that there are, but more importantly, our sins and our missed opportunities will eat our flesh, just like the worms do. And then it will be a place of fire. We'll be tormented day and night. You remember the rich man when he lifted up his eyes in Hades, which is just a foreshadowment of what will happen in this eternal abode. He lifted up his eyes, and what was he thinking about? Well, first of all, he thought about his own torment, and he's being tormented for his own sins. But then what else came to his mind? His brothers that were back in the States. And so you see, they're not back in the States, I'm sorry, back in the earth. And he was thinking about them. I'm a missionary. I think in the stateside, you know. But anyway, they were back on the earth, and he was thinking about them. And you see, those were missed opportunities that he was thinking about. He had opportunities, and they ate his flesh as much as his own torment for his own sins. And so we need to understand that that's really what happens. In fact, you can see people. Much of the mental illness that happens today is the direct result of regret. People already begin to torment themselves on this side of eternity because of the sins, the mistakes, the things that they've done. In hell, there will be no escape from ourselves, and we'll be our worst source of torment, but there will be other forms of punishment. Jesus said, in lieu of these things, if your hand causes you to sin, you can do what you want to do. But if your hand causes you to sin, but be warned, the worm will not die and the fire will not quench. So you can do what you want to do with your hand. If your hand causes you to sin, you can do it. But keep in mind, your worm will not die and your fire will not be quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, in other words, your foot takes you where you don't need to go, takes you to places you shouldn't be. Again, you can go where you want to go, but be warned, your worm will not die and the fire will not be quenched. And your eye can see what it wants to see. We live in a marvelous age, and the internet is a wonderful tool, but it's also a place of great evil. And this is one of the things that parents, you really need to be aware of what is available to your children on the internet. You need to monitor them, and you need to encourage them right now to create good habits where they themselves have the self-control not to go where they need to go or where they don't need to go. But again, we have the power to use our eye to see what we want to see, to look at what we want to look at. You can look at what you want to look at, but be warned, your worm will not die and your fire will not be quenched. In Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10, Solomon writes, warning young people particularly, but this warning would apply to anyone of any age. He says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. In other words, he's saying, do what you want to do while you're young. Sow your wild oats. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So he says, sow your wild oats, but recognize there's a price that you're going to pay for it. He goes on to say in verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He says, when you start out as a young man, seek the righteous paths from the beginning, and you will save yourself from a lot of heartache, a lot of remorse. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, it says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So nothing that is hidden right now will not eventually be revealed. And so we need to be aware of that. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I trust also well known in your consciences." So he says everything's going to be brought into judgment, and we need to understand that. So we've got to choose. We've got a choice to make. We can enter the wide gate, and again, Satan would have you enter that wide gate, and he's told you why. It is a broad way. You don't have to have any qualifications. There's no expectations of you. It is a popular way. Many are going to travel on it, and it leads to death. Or you can enter the narrow gate, the one we talked about this morning, the difficult road. Few will find it, but you will find life at the end. Those are the choices that we have. Hell. Hell is a place for the unrighteous. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." In closing, if you're not on the road we talked about this morning, we want to help you get on that road. We don't want you on the broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, there are momentary pleasures and there are some advantages as we see here, but again, there's a heavy price to pay, one that will take eternity to pay for, and one that you're not going to be willing to pay the price, but you will find no escape on the other side of death. But this side of death, this side of eternity, you do have an option. You have the choice to make. You can change the road that you're traveling upon right now while you have time. Repent of your sins, acknowledge Christ as Lord, be buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk a new life. As you come up out of that water grave of baptism, you're walking in newness of life. You're upon that heavenly road. You're upon that road of righteousness. We'd encourage you to get on that road today. If as a child of God, you have erred, you have strayed from the road that we talked about this morning, then we want you back on that narrow road. The Bible says, "Confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." If we can assist you in getting on the right road this evening, please come while we stand and while we sing.